Mr. 305 checking in for the remix.
15 minutes of heat.
You know they had that 75 Street Brazil. Well, this year's gonna be called Gaio.
That's not the next segment. That's the Pitbull inspired 15 minutes of heat remix. By the way, as you guys eat your great food from Twin Peaks, how about this headline from my colleagues at Channel 10? A woman kills ex-boyfriend, then cooks and serves his remains to other people. Take a while. Let me give you a guess. Where do you think that happened? Not Florida.
West Virginia.
No, not in the United States. Morocco.
Oh.
Oh, your world. Yeah.
Longtime boyfriend cooked his remains, served the dish to people. She said that the boyfriend left her for another, and when she told her, she had a bout of insanity. The woman confessed to killing the man after a human tooth was found inside her blender 3 months after his disappearance. She admitted to using the blender to mince her ex's flesh and then cooking it as a traditional chicken dish with rice.
Hmm.
Enjoy your lunch, guys.
I just had some bacon.
That bacon you gave me was good. That bacon was good. You know, that's how Beast and I have known each other so long that he smothered the bacon off the burger, rubbed it on his hands, handed it to me, and I ate it with no problem. That's how much I love and know Beast for so long.
Huh.
I didn't have a problem with it.
You just made it kind of awkward.
It's a weird thing because he's very anal about cleanliness and getting germs and stuff like that.
But I'm a slob, yeah.
But
I'm a slob.
Right. That doesn't.
I know. It's weird. It's like I'm a mess, but I have OCD.
You know, you would have loved this because I tell this story only because I told this story the other day. The day that Michael Irvin went nuts.
Butt fumble.
That's right. They're showing it on the screen at ESPN. The day that Michael Irvin lost his, you know what, the other day he was sweating and yelling. I forgot what game that was that everybody kept posting.
The Monday Night Football. It was the
Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Thank you. Cowboys and Titans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it reminded me, and only because you mentioned that, the crossing of food. So I remember years ago, one of the Super Bowls here, I had to interview Irvin for our pregame show. We were doing a Super Bowl special on a Saturday night in South Beach, and ESPN set me up to interview Irvin. And when I got to the set, like at 7 o'clock, our show was at 8, I had to do a quick little, you know, hey, Mike, you know, your take on the game kind of deal. They said, oh, he's back there behind the set. I go back there. There's a portal let back there. So I'm standing there thinking, I mean, is he in the bathroom? Where's he standing? And out of the portal let walks Michael Irvin. He has a bag of Doritos in one hand, and he's like wiping his fingers, like taking the Dorito residue off his fingers. And he comes over, hey, how's it going? And he shakes my hand, and I mean, I have to shake his hand. Michael Irvin is putting his hand out to shake, but I'm thinking to myself, he just left the portal lit with a bag of Doritos. Should I shake? Would you have shook his hand at that point?
No.
A little you
fist
are
bump.
A liar.
You would have done the fist bump?
I would have done a fist bump. Homie.
I mean, there are sanitary wipes and stuff in a portal lit. There's nothing,
hey,
maybe he cleaned.
Wait.
Maybe he no-handed it. He may have no-handed it.
Even I.
No.
Right? First of all, I don't even go in public, so you'll never see me walking out of a portal.
You don't pee in a portal?
No.
Not the other one is different, but you don't pee in a portal?
Wait. Oh, yeah, I do that.
Right. I'm not saying
you did
the other
one. Yeah, when you said the other day you've never been in a porta potty, I was like, you won't pee in one?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, but none of us are going to go number two in a porta potty.
Gotta go.
Well, I mean, I listen, of the three of us and Robbie on the show right now, I would be the most likely to need to use the porta potty for a number two.
Wait,
not do that.
You want to hear the worst story ever?
I will take a cab somewhere.
Here's the worst.
You won't use a porta potty?
Not for number two.
Oh, no, I
agree
with that.
Here's the worst story ever. Happened to me this weekend. So I got done golfing. We figured that we didn't win our flight to go to shoot off because we, you know, the other guys played so much better than us. So I leave. And I'm going back to the hotel, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get there just in time, because whoo, feeling it, right? Turtle head, the whole works, right? I get a call. Come back. We're in the shootout.
Oh.
I'm like,
that's the toughest.
Right. So I have to stop. I have to get my mind right, and I go all the way back, right? Come to find out, every team wasn't in. We weren't in the shootout. And then I went
now
back.
I got to run back. Did you guys read the story? Another story I read on our station website, but it was I don't know where it happened. I can double check. Where a man got arrested for making a bomb threat. And he said it was at a restaurant. And this happened yesterday, I think. And he said, basically, he came into the restaurant, what time they closed. The owner said something else, and he's like, I'm about to blow up this place, and he's going to drop a bomb. But He actually meant he was going to the bathroom, so they checked his bomb threat, and the man got arrested.
Please tell Wait. Me he was on the toilet when he got arrested.
I don't think he was on the toilet, but I could double check. Hold on, I have to
really.
If I'm going to tell you the story, I got to.
So no, he couldn't have got charged.
So he was like, "Oh, he might have got arrested."
Man claims he was talking about a bowel movement when he threatened to blow up the bathroom.
Oh, that's what we call it on TV.
That's what they call it. Yeah. Here's the story. A man charged with
threatening. What do you want to call it?
Hey, Leroy. A man charged with threatening to blow up a New Orleans restaurant claims it was a miscommunication. Arthur Posey, 30, told an employee inside Willie's Chicken Shack that he was about to blow the bathroom.
Everybody in America would have known I'm about to blow the bathroom up.
Posey allegedly replied when the manager was. He asked the manager about what time the restaurant closed. You all about to close right now because I'm going to get a bomb and blow this place up.
Oh, he said that.
Yeah, that's what the manager says. He allegedly.
No.
Said. Now there may be some paraphrase. He may have said I'm about to blow this bathroom up or blow this. You know, I guess if you say you blow up, you know. I mean,
but look, if you say bathroom and blow it up, everybody, every man will know.
No, there's plenty of women.
He could have just said, plenty of women can understand. He could have just said, I'm taking the kids to school, dropping the kids off at school.
Taking the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Exactly.
I never heard
and
that.
And he wouldn't
one.
Have gotten arrested.
Play for the Browns. Where else could you be considered poop?
Yeah, I mean, you know, making a deposit at the bank.
And look at the uniforms, which are really disgusting when they wear all brown. Come on.
The one people use that I don't understand the origin of is I gotta go see a guy about a horse.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know what that means, right?
Yeah.
Never heard that one.
You never heard that one?
No one's ever used
that
to
one.
Me.
No.
I've heard
drop
everything.
A bomb or blow up this place is probably more you hear people in a
now,
crass
that
kind of
guy's
way.
Got some stones because everybody, just very few people go to a restaurant or to somebody's house and say, you might say that in your own house. But you don't go to somebody and say, hey, where's your bathroom? I'm about to blow it up.
You're going to right? You're gonna walk into Willie's Chicken Shack in New Orleans and say, I'm about to bomb this place up.
I mean, it is chicken. Oh, so if you got anything spicy.
I was going to say, it's New Orleans. There's some spices. Yeah. God knows what's coming out there. Beast, I know what's coming now. Headlines.
Mm-hmm. This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com station.
We do have a little basketball in town tonight. The Brooklyn Nets have arrived in town. They are taking on the Miami Heat tonight, American Airlines Arena. 7:30 is your tip time. 6:30, our man, Tommy Tig and Jonathan Zaslow, our men. Although Zaz is on vacation, so I'm not sure if he's going to do the pregame show or not. But just in case, it'll be Tommy Tig and possibly Zaslow on the pregame show at 6:30 right here on The Ticket. Meanwhile, little injury news for the Heat. No Tyler Johnson. He's got a hamstring strain. Goran Dragic, you know, is out with the knee. But we got good news. Dwayne Wade is back from paternity leave, so you get Father Prime in uniform at the American Airlines Arena tonight. So get down there and watch that one. Some other news as it relates to the NBA. J.R. Smith says that the Cavs are not trying for the playoffs. They're trying to tank, and now word comes out he's not with the team as the Cavs seek to trade him. Good luck on that.
And it's LeBron's reunion tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
Wait, but check this out. I mean, you had to know.
Of course.
Of course you knew.
You had to know J.R. Smith without LeBron.
Yeah, no, of
course. LeBron was keeping... Wait, everybody thought J.R. Smith was a knucklehead. Then he got hooked up with LeBron, and they started using...
Well, he was still a knucklehead, but he was a productive knucklehead.
Right.
Productive knucklehead is a good way to put it. Let's switch to football for a moment. So Ryan Tannehill practiced today, and he threw the ball 20-plus yards. And Adam Gase will tell the media in an hour what his status is. Of course, we'll be in a recorded show.
Wait, no. But as of, like, I think Gase speaks at, does he speak at 3 or 2:45?
I don't know. You might be listening to the best of Levitard when that news breaks. Hashtag third hour. Anyways.
Dude, if Roy will mention it in his Roy's realm.
Naked Chris will have it. So Gase will say in an hour what Ryan Tannehill's status is. Meanwhile, Adam Beasley says, I'd bet the smart money on Ryan Tannehill playing Sunday. Beasley throwing down.
Whoa.
Unless he's got inside info, I don't know how. If he just started throwing it, he's only throwing 20-25 yards.
I'll take Beasley on that.
Let's back this up
a little
bit. Super
cool Beasley knows what's up.
Now, all the information you have, and then let me throw the last little piece of information.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Osweiler is your quarterback.
No, I agree with you there. I mean, look, Tannehill throwing left-handed is probably better than Brock has been the last few weeks.
Wait, whoa. Well, Brock, he could say, how can a guy that tall get past his block?
I mean, Brock was a
that
nice
That was another discussion
start.
Last night Brock, at the Brock, Hebrews event.
You know what he turned out to be? He turned out to be Matt Moore, which is what most backups in the NFL are.
Right.
When they play and they get thrown in there in a game or two,
they can
do a good job.
Once and then teams start watching film,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And then you figure, you know, this is an easy way to stop this guy. And then that's it. It's over. And it is over.
Also, as it relates to football, but this, the Miami Hurricanes, Manny Diaz says he has spoken to the three junior linebackers about whether they will come back or not, says he thinks they will do the right thing, and Barry Jackson is hearing that they will most likely come back, but we won't really know until after the season.
I mean, they didn't have a good enough year to warrant them leaving early.
But we've seen this in UM before where guys get bad information from hangers-on and people and family and all this other stuff and end up making bad decisions.
Let me tell you. I'm gonna tell you the honest truth.
Mark Walton.
The best thing that I ever did.
Defensive lineman last year.
The best thing I ever did and the worst thing I ever did was go to school away from home. For that reason, right there, I was glad that I was by myself to make that decision, and nobody even knew I was deciding to do it.
Right.
The other thing was, I was so far away from home, I had no choice but to succeed because I couldn't just say I'm going home.
So what was the bad part of it?
Being so far away from home.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't go home. I never went home for 4 years. I couldn't afford it.
Right.
So once I left, the next time I went home was after I got dressed.
I guess this must have happened after you played, because what used to be the deal for UM players, if they were from another state, is if there was like a rule put in place that, let's say you're going to a bowl
game, ticket home.
You get a plane ticket home and then a plane ticket to the bowl site.
Right.
Yep.
Well,
anyways.
For the holidays. Look, those kids will all play
pro
eventually.
Well, that wouldn't happen for us anyway, because we always played on New Year's Day bowls. So we had practice until a week before that. We never really had any time off. We traveled to the Rose Bowl on Christmas Day.
Oh.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
when y'all play on those December 15th games, yeah, then, you know, you could go home and be home.
He just kind of shaded.
The Canes played December 15th bowls back in those days.
He kind of throwing some shade at it.
Canes weren't playing in December 15th.
I'm talking
15th.
About now.
No, you're talking
no,
about
now. I'm talking about, like, back in the day.
The rule changed.
No, it's the same rule.
After me.
After you, yeah.
Right.
And after you, Miami was playing a lot of New Year's Day games.
Okay.
Even the Duck Commander Bowl is at December 27th.
What are the Canes?
I'm so hoping for Jacksonville.
What are the Canes put into play right now? Like, what are the options that people are talking about?
My boy Moore's Gasparilla Bowl.
No, a lot of people are saying Jacksonville. What's the one up there?
The Gator Bowl?
Gator Bowl, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was actually told by a UM official yesterday, if they do beat Pitt, that's where they're going.
Who's the lineup against in the Gator Bowl? What conference?
In the old days, it used to be ACC Big East, but now it's all over the place.
Yeah, just, I don't know.
ACC Big Ten.
It could be anyone.
It's not locked in?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, whatever. Look, I'm glad. I
don't want to be in Detroit. Imagine having to go to Detroit for a bowl game.
No.
You going to go cover that?
Quick Lane Bowl.
No. You're so funny. I when I made my Heat schedule this year, I patterned it out in such a way that it was like, you know, hey, the opening day, that's LSU, you know, then travel in the middle of the year, then I'm going to travel to a big game, travel for the ACC title game, travel to a bowl, travel to a potential playoff game. Yeah, none of that happened. Yeah. Just made the LSU trip, watch them get destroyed, and that concludes my Canes coverage this year.
I mean, because but now let me ask you a question. From, you know, because you kind of look at games differently, because, you know, you have to be involved with a whole lot of different aspects of it, whether the game's important or not, whether they want to send you there to cover it. After that first game, did you ever think they would be this?
No. I thought that they just ran into a really good LSU team in a big setting. I thought they'd win the Coastal. The most disappointing thing for me about this team is that I look at the Coastal and nothing stands out about it. And the fact that they couldn't stand out in a division that nothing stands out about it is disappointing. Because if they would have been 7-4 type team, 8-4, you know, 8-5 when it's all said after bowl, I mean, and lost to Clemson but won the conference or won the Coastal, you'd say, you know, it was a step back, but at least it's back-to-back Coastals. They're still the team in this division. They just got to bounce back next year. Right. Man, they didn't even – and they were eliminated in the Coastal 3 weeks before the end of the season. That's just, right. I didn't expect that.
Right.
I didn't.
It was hard for me to figure out, you know, what was wrong. They put themselves in a lot of situations where they even tried to run it. When they ran it, the blocking wasn't good enough at times. They couldn't control the line of scrimmage running the ball.
We talked, you know what's funny? We opened the show talking about the innovation that we saw in the game last night between the Rams and the Chiefs, and then Beast brought up, you know, the college style where teams, you know, have this, and then watch a Canes game.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, you know, we make fun of the Dolphins and their offense, but at least to your point, Leroy, the Dolphins have, under Adam Gase, tried to do things like that. They just, for whatever reason, whether it's Gase not getting prepared enough
or just not
having the personnel,
they
haven't succeeded at it. But you look at what's going on. 15 minutes of heat is coming up now?
Next.
Oh, it's next. Oh, okay. You scared me.
Cue cards.
Well, because you had the, you know what it is? You played the little 15 minutes of heat thing earlier.
You should have told him, stand up. I can't see the note.
Because it was here, this thing was in the way.
But
bottom line is this. We didn't see innovation.
We got it.
We didn't see innovation. And I think that's what frustrates Canes fans. In a sport where, in college football, teams are routinely scoring 40, 50 points.
Right. Miami is struggling to get to 14 or 21.
Yes.
They don't play well away from Hard Rock. It was the same thing last year.
They don't play well on offense no matter where they are.
Before the party weeks, they barely beat North Carolina at North Carolina.
Here's, like, the one thing that I will always give a team or a coach a break on is when you see another team performing or playing, scoring a bunch of points, you say, why can't we do that? And I always go to, because you don't have that talent.
I don't know, but do you think some of the teams that you watch play, and you know, we all are the same. You watch a game, I'll get home on a Saturday night after the show, and there'll be some Pac-12 game on and some West Coast game.
Call Robbie, he'll be up.
And yeah, you'll see, well, that's for other reasons, too, obviously, for degenerate reasons. But I mean, you watch these teams playing these offenses, you know, you say to yourself, yes, there's some talented kids, but if you put that style with a Miami talent, sure, Miami talent's not Alabama talent, Clemson talent.
No.
We get it. But if you put Miami with that style, you don't think Jeff Thomas and these guys and Brevin Jordan, you know, early on, you'll utilize guys like that to that type of style and score more points? I think so.
But that's what we think, okay? But I always throw this out there. And because we're here and everybody wants Miami to be better, we always make the players better than they are. And I'm saying,
I think they're good enough to be winning the Coastal. How about that? Okay. You know, so one thing that bothered me most about Mark Richt, the only real criticism I have of Mark Richt this year, because everybody's just been so hard on ripping him. And yeah, he hasn't had a great year in some of the things, but a lot of that has to do with personnel. And I get it. But bottom line is this, he said that comment where he said, these plays have been working for 30 years. Remember?
Yeah, that's bad.
Here's the thing. I want you to figure out the plays that are going to work for the next 30 years. I don't care about the past 30 years. Give me the innovative plays that now people want to do next 30 years.
You know who's doing it well with plays that worked 30 years ago? Or not well, but doing it. Paul Johnson.
But those are plays that worked 300 years ago.
Valid point.
Are you ready, people?
You've been waiting for it all day. 15 minutes of heat on the ticket with Tobin, Leroy, and Beast. Here we go!
Robbie, did you send me the sponsors? Oh, yeah, you did.
I was waiting for you to read some sort of 15 minutes of heat.
Yeah, that would have been help if I paid attention. 15 minutes of heat is brought to you by Xfinity. Xfinity delivers the fastest internet with the best in-home Wi-Fi experience, and now you can get up to 5 lines of Xfinity mobile talk and text included at no additional cost. Call, click, or visit an Xfinity store today. Also, brought to you by Champion 4x4, South Florida's number one Jeep truck and off-road supercenter. Champion 4x4, where champions are built!
Thank you, sir. And speaking of a champion, Dwayne Wade is certainly won 3 times over, and he will return tonight. So we can at least look forward to that scene of down the stretch or in key moments in the second half where the Heat just look, I mean, for lack of a better term, lost.
If I may.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
We've all had kids, right?
Yep.
We have.
And
Will has like a fleet.
A couple. Stepdaughter. I got a few.
And here's what I'll say to that. Remember when your kid was born and you took that little time off, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
And then your first day back at work, thinking about home, you think about how much fun you had at home with your wife and your beautiful new kid, right? What kind of D-Wade do you think you're going to get?
Well, I think you'll get a D-Wade. And Spo did mention that Dwayne will probably, not necessarily a minutes restriction, but they're going to be wise with how they use him. And I think they're going to try to pick their spots.
Here's what I will say about how D-Wade has played so far. He's been on a minutes restriction, but you can't take him out based on minutes if the team is struggling.
No, that's the thing. They had to use him heavily at the moment.
They're paying him mm-hmm. like he's making $30 million a year.
Well, they're playing him like he's their best player,
which is actually
accurate, meaning he's their most important player in important moments, right?
He's their most consistent, like the guy that you know. He might not be able to get a three off or something like that, even though he's been shooting him halfway decent. Mm-hmm. But he's the guy you know with the ball in his hands, with X amount of time left, he's going to get a shot off, and it's going to be a pretty good one.
The bottom line, too, is that, you know, as Jay Rich has developed his game and as we've seen these flashes of, look, I said this the other day about Jay Rich. Statistically, there are a few players in the NBA who have made a bigger leap since last season than Josh Richardson. And, you know, some people say, well, it's more because of opportunity. Well, yeah, but Josh was playing significant minutes last year. It's not like Josh is all of a sudden up. He's just making the most of those minutes with his aggression, with his ability to finish, his three-point shooting's in the mid-40s. He's actually been, after he had a good start to the season, he's actually been better than good in November. He's been averaging 21 points a game, shooting 46, 47% from three. Josh is at a point now where he's really turned that corner. I think that's the positive, but the reinforcement of having Dwayne there, it can't all fall on Josh. Mm-hmm. And it has. You know, and in the stretch that Dwayne was gone, which was over 2 weeks, any big moment, Josh had the ball in his hands. And there were times where he made the play, and there were times where he didn't.
I mean, but doesn't
–
here.
And Dwayne seems to stabilize that.
I get that people want the Heat to be great right now. But you can't want the Heat to be great now by just pounding a guy that just got into a role and he's learning how to be that guy.
Well, let me ask you this question. You're around – there much way more than I mean I've been to a couple games this year, but I have been doing the media thing like
paying attention. You were eating popcorn and drinking beers.
It was no corporate stuff. Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Well, one of the games I was in, it was in our suite. Jeez, that was a rough night. Anyways, thank you, Entercom, for lots of stuff.
Look at that. Even he does drive-by kissings all the time.
I'd be the same.
I met Sue, one of our executives from up in Boston that
we
came down.
Sue.
She's
we
training
you,
our salespeople. Yeah.
Wonderful person.
Yeah, wonderful person. Oh, can't wait. Riptide, Kim Reese is coming down.
Kim's my favorite.
Oh, excited. Jay Rich, this role
You're
with
a
more...
serial ass kisser.
Oh, yeah. I've got a problem. I literally need a 12.
I need if you see these lips, back away.
There needs to be a 12-step program for me. But in Jay Rich's new role with responsibility.
A.K.A. Ass Kissing Anonymous.
Take away a point, minus one.
That nullifies the point loss.
Leroy, that was
horrible. Setting points.
I'm usually the first one to take a point. I like it.
Take one from Leroy.
No.
I have no
two
power.
Two against one.
Can I just get to my damn question?
Can't lose a point for laughing.
Do we feel like Jay Rich has a lot more room to grow in this role of more responsibility?
Yes, he's never done it.
No, I want Will's answer.
Okay. So ask it again. You said
do we think there's a lot more room for Jay Rich to grow in this new role with more responsibility?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Number one is I don't think the Heat see this as a new role. I don't think it's a new role. I think it's opportunities at the same role we saw a little bit of him do last year.
Well,
so
he has
last
more, it year, seems like there's more. He has more responsibility, or there's more pressure. Not pressure. He gets more clutch.
Opportunities. Yeah,
opportunities.
And I think that's based on last year giving him a few of those, giving him a taste of that, and then saying, okay, we liked what we saw, let's give him a little bit more. I think what you see in Josh is a guy that is what did we love about Jimmy Butler, right? Being a two-way player. What we see in Josh is, again, when you look statistically around the league, Josh is right now one of the up-and-coming two-way players in the league. It gets lost because everybody wants him to be a superstar. So when he fails in late game situations or when the Heat don't win games, well, see, he can't handle that role. When you're skipping the part, well, maybe there's just not enough guys around them to help him handle the role. It's a lot more than just him not handling a role. I think the Heat truly believe that he's a centerpiece type of guy. Obviously, you have to put other pieces around that. Is he a 1A, you know, 1A alpha guy? Probably not. But is he a 1B guy that can be an alpha guy at times? I think he's developing into that type of player. And again, statistically, it shows. It's one thing if he was averaging 21 points a game, like I said there, and it was all high volume crap where he was just shooting up shots and shooting 32% from three, and he just happens to be chucking a lot of shots. He is offensively being efficient on top of not losing what made him the player he is today.
And
that's his defense. Exactly. To me, that's a guy taking a step forward. When you're 6-10 and you see no light at the end of the tunnel from a team perspective,
it's easy to go after him.
It's easy. Exactly.
Now, my question is this. Basketball's weird in that everybody usually blows up 26, 27, right? Isn't it what it says? Your sixth or seventh year? That's when...
I mean, he's in what, year four?
Right.
I don't know if there's an average because it depends on how they are coming in.
Well, I mean, when you think about all these guys that, I mean, been good, but I'm saying turn the corner on how their career is going to play out. For example, LeBron, you look at Jordan, he didn't win until his seventh year. You know, how close is he to Kawhi?
I think it's hard to put him in a level of Kawhi.
No, I'm not saying the same level, but what I'm saying is, like, when Kawhi first came in, we didn't look at him like we look at him now. You know, now, for some reason, San Antonio knew because they traded for him.
They did, and I think what you saw, too, is there was an expectation that these players, his first-round picks and stuff, Josh kind of fell through the cracks. I think there was a belief, I think, that he couldn't be a scorer and he can just be a solid defender. Then the Heat molded him into that solid defender. And then his first year, remember how good he was from three in the second half? Then he took a step back with a knee injury early the next year, and he kind of took him a while to get going. And then last year, you saw him turn the corner, but then Dwayne came back. So that role kind of changed again because Dwayne was the main guy down the stretch. And then this year, the Heat kind of went in and said, you know what, just go do your thing, man. Do your thing and see what you can handle. And he's handled it, I think, pretty well. Again, it gets lost because the Heat just aren't very good right now.
This, out of curiosity, when was the last time the Heat had everybody?
The 30-11 finish. It was about as close. I mean, that was the last. Remember, the Heat haven't been the same.
That's 2 years.
That's what I'm saying. The Heat haven't been the same since they lost Deion.
30-11 was what year?
2 years ago. When they lost Deion, it changed the whole dynamic. Because last year, the season opened, and you had, obviously, you didn't have Dwayne back yet, and you had Deion was not the same.
He couldn't run.
They've never found that flow. Now, I know what people are listening, rolling their eyes, thinking, well, who cares? Even if they have everyone, they still can't win the East. No one's arguing they're better than anyone in the East.
No, I'm just saying
that. In the
that
top four teams in the East when they're healthy.
I don't think they even know who they are yet because they can't put a team out there consistently to have a proper rotation, to have, you know, a game plan where you figure, okay, we can do this with this guy or this with that guy. Because now, I mean, we're starting to see, like, I'll watch games and I'm like, okay, Hassan against guys that are equal to him, you know, he's going to have pretty good games because they're not going to move. But just as all the other years have starting to play out, when they play a team that's going to run and put the ball on the floor and go, Hassan's pretty much out of the game.
Is this a fair comparison? Or text on the NunezLaw.com text line at 67974. By the way, Nunez Law is a great accident attorney.
I hope I never need them, but if I do, I'll call.
Yep.
What was that noise? That wasn't me.
Oh, okay. A great comparison for Jay Rich is Luol Deng in his prime.
No, because Luol Deng can't handle the ball like Jay Rich can.
Yeah, Lou was a different player. Lou was definitely... I mean,
he's D3.
The thing about Josh is that's been interesting this year is that he's actually, again, he's averaging 21 points a game in November, and he's doing it efficiently, shooting in the mid-40s from three. If you look at the efficiency ratings of NBA players right now through 15, 18 games, whatever most teams have played, Jay Rich is right up there.
I also think Jay Rich's athleticism and trying to get to the basket or make something happen is a little more flashy than Luol Deng.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is with Josh, too, you know where the biggest development that he needs, and he's basically admitted as much, is in between the ears, is the mental side of it. Josh is a thinker at times, and I think sometimes he almost thinks himself out of either not being aggressive enough or being too aggressive. And that's something that just comes with opportunity and time. But if you're a Heat fan, right, and you have every reason to complain the way this season has started and the salary cap and not getting stars, and look, I will listen to you all day. But if you tell me that Josh Richardson isn't taking a step and that that's not encouraging and that you don't have a young ascending player in Josh Richardson, I think you are crazy and not watching the games. Because I had someone today, I said Tyler Johnson, you know, is out tonight. I said, good. I mean, I know that people ripped Tyler for his contract. And, hey, man, the man got out, went out and got paid. You can't fault him for that. Tyler's been very good this year. He's quietly been very good. And in the stretch that Dwayne was out, Tyler was averaging about 15 points, 5 rebounds a game, shooting threes, attacking. He's been one of the few bright spots. The problem is that he haven't played defense. And there's too many other guys that have been either in and out of the lineup or not consistent, and they're just losing games.
My question is this. I mean, D-Wade coming back does what for your defense? That was already bad.
I will say this. It may not do much when you look at it from a defensive standpoint, but it will do something, I think, from hopefully having some sort of offensive identity standpoint. Too often in games in big spots, the Heat just look lost. Don't get a shot off, shot clock violation. Guys have the ball with 2 seconds left in the shot clock and they're passing it to the guy 10 feet away from them. And you're like, what are you doing? Shoot it. And things like that, the movement, you hope that that will kind of work itself out starting tonight. Also helps that they're playing Brooklyn.
I think it's guys that, you know, for the last couple of years, they've always been the guy catch it and pass it. And now they're not, but they're not, you know, so they're not aware of all their surroundings, the clock or whatever, because they've never had to be.
I told you this yesterday, and I'll say it again. One of the most frustrating things of the Heat this season is that their big sell, and the big sell of this team, is the continuity, right? Is the guys have been together for 3 years, yet at times they play like they've never played with each other.
Especially
and
defense.
They don't know where especially guys are on defense. The court. Yes, and that
it's
will fix itself.
It's because there is no leader.
Yeah, that's good. You know what?
You think?
Beast, it could be as simple as
yes.
There is no alpha.
There's no alpha.
Yes,
I mean, okay, Dwayne's a leader, but he's not the same.
He can't be 35 minutes
right,
with the ball in his hand. And Goran, you know, Goran is a master of quick starts, but when Goran leaves the game, everything falls apart.
Because Tobin thinks Goran, he yelled at his Slovenian teammates, why can't he do that with the Heat?
I think he's probably too tired because he's leading everything from the start of the game. Goran is a great starter. He gets the team going early. But again, when that second unit comes in and somebody else handles the ball for stretches of the game, everything just collapses.
Right.
Something they hopefully could start fixing. Look, JJ's back. I think you'll see JJ more of a ball handler as well as time goes on. He trusts him in that role, Spo does. They play Brooklyn tonight, then they head off to what? They hit the road then. They got Toronto on Sunday, but
yeah,
they have
Toronto,
Friday.
Yeah.
They have Friday they have, I want to get this right.
Is it Chicago?
No. Yes, Chicago Friday, Toronto Sunday, after playing today.
And we will pick from the doom bucket next. You are going to pick for Tobin.
I will pick for Tobin.
Who is in the lead?
Tobin will make his picks,
and
but I will pick it.
You know what this is, Will?
Chase Week. I'm ready.
You gotta put your mic on.
Does that mean it's time to do some picking of some sort?
This is our old school NFL music that we use to get degenerate and pick some games. We're not actually gonna make our picks. We're gonna pick out of the bucket. Robbie, you are in last place. What is your record, sir?
I am 2-7.
All right, so let's just real quick for the audience. Tobin sent us the update on the records. Here we go. In first place is Tobin at 8-1, that lucky bastard. I'm in second place at 5-4, but obviously I'm going to tank. Leroy is in third place at 3-6. Robbie is at 2-7. It is Chase Week, boys. Robbie, pick your games.
I've made my draw, and just a couple notes. There are a couple college games in there because there was only 15 games. Then the Monday night game has been taken out because there wasn't a spread.
All right, so Leroy's picking his four games. You picked four, buddy?
Oh, no!
Ohio State and Michigan.
Ah!
that's just the big four out of this corona.
Well, there's only four left. You just have to pull them out.
That's it?
Okay. And then okay, so.
Can I put this back?
No.
The Levitard Show.
No.
You're going to pick with your heart.
All right, Robbie. What do you got, buddy?
All right, I'm going to find out at the same time you guys are. The Chargers at the Cardinals.
Oh, son of a.
The Chargers are big 12.5 point favorites at their fake home game. And I got the Giants and the Eagles. The Eagles are 6-point favorites at home.
Which way? The Giants never play the Eagles well.
You can't give advice.
What do you mean I can't? I'm not really part of this.
I don't care.
Hey,
no help.
He's not giving advice. He's just making a statement.
No help.
Facts are facts.
Facts are facts. Just letting information flow. And I also got Pitt at Miami. The Canes are 6-point favorites on Saturday.
Oh, we know who you're picking.
Thank God I don't have to pick that one. Yeah,
now,
I know what you're picking. Go ahead, Leroy.
You ready for this, Robbie? Robbie, a first-time event here for the Doombox.
Yeah.
I have two West Coast teams traveling east playing the early game.
What do you got?
49ers at the Buccaneers. That's 1 o'clock game. Tampa Bay is favored by 3.5. And I have the Seahawks traveling to the Panthers. That starts at 1 o'clock. And I have Carolina minus 3.5. I have 12 o'clock on Saturday. The game. Michigan, Ohio State. I guess there is no secret there.
Rat poison.
Who I'm picking.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed victory.
And then I have the Raiders traveling east to play the Ravens. 1 o'clock start. They are a 10.5 point favorite.
You need to go 4-0 this week.
Is that crazy?
It is ridiculous.
Three
All right.
I got one more game, by the way.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I got the Jaguars and the Bills. The Jaguars are 3-point road favorites.
Oh, so sad that Will didn't pick the Jaguars for Tobin.
3-7.
All right, here we go. I've got a 4:25 game. Steelers at Broncos. Pittsburgh, a 3-point favorite. 12:30. Is this? Yeah, this is
Thanksgiving.
Thursday. Thanksgiving. Bears, Lions. And Chicago's a 4-point favorite at Detroit. Another Thanksgiving game, 4:30. Redskins, Cowboys. Dallas, a 7.5 point favorite. And of course, because why wouldn't I pick the Patriots taking on the Jets? New England, a 9-point favorite at MetLife on 1 o'clock on Sunday.
They always keep that game kind of close.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm scared. Yeah. What did Tobin have?
This is what Tobin has. He's got the Dolphins at the Colts. Colts are favored by 9.5, according to this little piece of paper that I think.
What?
Yeah. Hold up! For the first time this year,
declaring it
Pride game. This is a Pride game. How in the hell are you gonna go up to Indianapolis and let Indy beat you by 10?
Robbie, has the Pride game rule ever actually come in?
Yeah, it did with the Dolphins last year in that Monday night game.
Yeah,
the Pride game rule has worked.
Yes,
anyway, I will
have both teams with the same record,
but they're gonna lose by 20.
Wow,
jeez,
you can make that. Toba's not here to
hey. What a party pooper. The music stopped.
I mean, you killed the whole show.
You said you killed.
You may not be wrong.
You just killed the show, Will.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I apologize.
Negative Nancy. Wow.
Packers at the Vikings. Vikings, the 3.5 point favorite. That's a night game.
Is that Sunday night.
Sunday night. Packers-Vikings, let me tell you.
That's always fun division games. Another divisional game. Falcons at Saints.
Oh,
Saints are 10? Favored by 75. Now, Saints are favored by 13. It's at
13!
That's Thanksgiving night. That's the night game.
Night game on Thanksgiving. And then this probably the game of the week.
You can't. Friday got nothing to do with that.
Tobin says the game of the week in the NFL. Browns at Bengals. It's a 1 o'clock
game. Pride rule versus ass-kicking rule.
Since he's a 3-point favorite.
Give me Tobin so I can take pictures and send it to him.
Okay.
Manso picked a Pride game.
I'm telling you. I don't usually go this route. I was tempted when somebody was a 16-point favorite.
Let me tell you something. The Dolphins have lost to every good team on the road this year by double figures.
Wait.
It's the truth.
Are we ready to declare Indianapolis a good team?
It's not about Indianapolis. It's more about the Dolphins.
It's about the Dolphins. But
Andrew Luck played good last week.
No, he's been playing good all year.
We talked about at the beginning of the show about the Rams and Chiefs and Saints. The last 4 weeks, the last month, with Andrew Luck having a running game and an offensive line,
right.
They've averaged like 36 points a game. They are that
right. They haven't had a sack.
Dolphins can't keep up with that or stop that.
The horrendous matchup for the Dolphins.
It is honestly. It's not poo pooing on the Dolphins. Yeah. It's more just saying the Dolphins just can't keep up with a team.
Want
like
me to
that.
Tell you how you keep up with them? Stop one of them.
But they won't
stop
though.
The
they
run.
Won't. They won't. Andrew Luck
if
will
they run,
carve
like,
them up.
There's a couple of teams that their quarterback is tremendous on play action. We all know Aaron Rodgers is like that, and they gave up a boatload of yards rushing, and guess what? Play action tore them apart. Play action is like finish
Vegas,
them off.
Vegas knows.
Vegas really?
Knows. Vegas does know.
Really?
Robbie will tell you that Vegas knows.
Well, of course Robbie will tell you.
Hey,
I think
Robbie,
it could be more.
Robbie, texter chimes in. Robbie picked the under last night. He lost all picking privileges.
I didn't say that.
You, there's no way you picked the
there's
under
no
last
way
night.
You
no, I didn't
pick
that
chance
under.
You picked the under.
Not on
no
the air,
way.
At least.
Oh, no.
If you did give up your degenerate
Did you
forever.
See idiot from Barstool, whatever the hell his name is, Portnoy, lost 10 grand on some bet he made in the first half based on the missed extra point at the end of the first half?
That's hilarious.
I know.
That's why I don't gamble.
There's both two missed extra points.
But
the first
I will
day.
Gamble to be back tomorrow with you guys one last day.
One last day?
One last dance?
One last dance like Dwayne tonight as he returns to
Wait,
action.
Let's just see. There's a new tweet from Barry. Is it about Ryan Tannehill? No.
If it is, it's probably snarky. Barry, I love
no.
snarky Barry.
Oh, Barry has been
Man,
great
he
lately.
Is like they talk about coaches being cranky, but there's a couple of reporters. Like, we had a guy when we played, Tony Grossi.
Oh, yeah. He's been around for a while.
I know the name, yeah.
Man, you want to talk about the guy who always had the negative spin on everything we did.
Barry's not negative, but Barry's not afraid to get a little snarky.
He's been snarkier only because, listen, we've all been snarkier, and I don't just mean media, I mean fans as well, because we're bitter and jaded because this town has not been good of late.
So the media's about to find out whether Ryan Tannehill is going to play or not this week, and instead you'll get recorded radio.
Recorded radio it is, and then we'll
no,
discuss Tannehill
I
playing
call
or not
it
playing tomorrow.
Rerun radio!
Rerun radio.
Hashtag third hour.
We'll rerun this tomorrow.